And welcome back to the Star Tribune's Talking Preps podcast. I'm David LeVake here with what's left of Jim Paulson. Jim's under the weather, but keep merry spirits, Jim, because you'll be healthy as a horse by Christmas.
You think so? It's kind of the way my winters work. I get sick early on in the winter. It lingers forever. I feel better for about the month of January, and then I catch it again. So usually my winters are a sandwich of sickness, a sickness sandwich.
Yum.
Yeah.
I'll get that with chips, please.
It's not tasty.
Yeah.
All that in a bag of chips.
Well, we got some things to get into that we still value your opinion, so you can offer as much of much voice toward them as possible. We'll start in both genders of hockey. This is recording is being done on a Wednesday, and of course later on Wednesday is when Let's Play Hockey releases its weekly rankings, courtesy of the Coaches Association. So we're always a little bit behind. Thankfully, there's not ever dramatic shakeup week to week, and so I think what we've got still holds up pretty well. We'll start in boys AA, Minnetonka, your defending state champions, 5-0. Number two, Duluth East. They're going to drop slightly because they did have an overtime loss at Andover since the last time it was on Saturday, so it was between polls.
See what happens? They had been going up in the rankings.
That's right.
Without playing a game, that's right. Anyone said to prove it on the ice, well, the plummet begins.
Well, what's fascinating about that match is that game will most likely be played again, and I don't have the exact dates if it's late February or early March, at Amsoil Arena in Duluth, and that will most likely be your Section 7 championship game, as it was a year ago. I think that both teams showed that they're right there with each other here in December, and they're only going to get better and figure things out as they continue to move forward. Edina's 3, we talked about Andover at 4. They are 5-0, which matches them with Minnetonka. And then in the fifth spot is St. Thomas Academy at 5-1-1. They will play at Hill Murray on Thursday, which is one of those games where you can not throw the records out, but you can certainly expect a really tightly or really hotly competitive. What am I trying to say? Very competitive game. I don't know. I'm just mixing my metaphors and my adjectives and adverbs there. It'll be a good game sense to see where the cadets stand. In single A, top five teams, Hermantown, St. Cloud Cathedral, Alexandria, Matamidi, and East Grand Forks. On the girls' side, very, very intriguing. Again, same story with the boys as far as the rankings. New rankings will come out here later on Wednesday. But as of right now, the top five teams represent a whopping two sections. Andover is number one and Forest Lake's number five. They are both out of Section 7. And then Edina at 2, Blake at the third spot, and Wayzata 4. They're all out of Section 6. So we've got two very powerful sections that are representing well for themselves. And they're all knocking each other off, which I also think is kind of fun. Andover's 9-1. Now, their only loss is to Minnetonka. They play Forest Lake on Thursday, so that'll be interesting to see. Number two, Edina's 9-1. They've won 9 straight since their loss to Andover. They face Wayzata on Saturday and Forest Lake on Tuesday. Number three, Blake is 10-1. Their only loss is to Edina. Number four, Wayzata is 8-1. Their only loss is to Blake. And then back to Forest Lake, they're 8-0. And what's really also fascinating about their playing so well, so consistently well, is that they are doing it without, I think, the goalie that they would have loved to have seen there, Josie Bothan, if I'm pronouncing that right. She has switched over to the boys' game, and she's playing for the Forest Lake boys. She's a kid that's committed to Penn State, and my assumption is that her motivation is similar to that of now Olympic gold medalist Maddie Rooney, who was playing at Andover, was doing good things with the girls program, and then switched for her, I believe just her senior year, switched to the boys team and was their goalie for that season. And I know in Andover it was there was a little bit of admiration but a little bit of hard feelings because the girls would have loved to have had a Maddie Rooney in net. I don't know the environment at Forest Lake, but good for Josie for chasing what she wants, and good for the girls team to still be 8-0.
Do you think it's good for girls to play on boys teams?
Well, That's a nice, light, easy question. No nuance to that. I don't know. I thought you were going to ask, you know, what do you think about this in context with what Blake Cashman is doing with the Gophers and saying see you later before the bowl game.
And Danelle Green.
Yeah, to me, it all feels a little unfortunate. You know, you kind of want to ride things out with your team and see things through. But it's, you know, back to your original question, I mean, you know, I kind of liken it to that Simpsons episode where they're gonna have a trial to decide religion versus science, and they end up, something happens and they all run out of the courtroom, and the judge says, well, as far as religion versus science goes, I recommend a 50-foot or like a restraining order, or a 50-foot, you know, something. I forget the line, but basically, you know, just kind of dodge that bullet. I'm going to do the same here. It's too much to get to right now.
That's a good story, Dave.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Thank you. It's yeah. On the girls' single A side, you got.
Hold on. Going back to the girls on boys teams thing. Mm-hmm. You bring up a really good point in that.
I don't think I brought up any point. Well, That's what you just said.
I think the point that you brought up, and I think that people forget about, is we look at the girls that play on boys' teams and say, well, that's a chance for them to get better because, you know, the boys in hockey are bigger and stronger and faster and they shoot the pucks harder, and there's really no question about that. But the question then becomes, what is your responsibility to the girls you grew up playing with, and what is your responsibility to the team that has helped develop you to that point? Is there a responsibility there? Should you have look at that and say that this is, they depend on me as their goalie, and I've been the goalie for the girls' team for X amount of years or what have you, mm-hmm. and suddenly you abandon for the boys' team? Is there a fairness to this? Is that equitable? Is it, you know, when a girl says, "Hey, suddenly you're not good enough for me. I want to bump up and play on the boys' team." Is that kosher?
Yes, but that's whatever the individuals decide they want to do and what flack they're willing to take to do what they think they need to do for themselves. Hard to say. But yeah, it's definitely something that, whether it's Cashman or Matty Rooney, it's definitely it's not a unanimous feeling on either side.
I mean, there's a teammate angle to it.
And absolutely.
As a member of a team and a contributing member of a team, and I know when I played sports and you played sports as well, when you have your superstar or your big gun or somebody you really depend on for your team's success that suddenly isn't there, it can go both ways. You can take added responsibility, but you can also look and say, hey, we're really shorthanded. And if that person's choice is not to be there, that can be kind of a downer for you. It can kind of sap your energy, sap your excitement. Yeah. Suddenly, that they've decided to move on from you, and even though you've shared experiences and shared development with them, and I don't know, I go back and forth on that. I understand the girl wanting to play the best possible competition and improve her game, and it makes sense. But I also think that there's a team angle to this that needs to be considered. What is your responsibility to the team? Because the team is everything in these games, and coaches will tell you that it's all about sacrificing for the group success.
Particularly when you hear in all sports that the individual is made in the off season anyway, you know that's always been the one of the comebacks. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough deal. Credit to Alan Gaynor, if I'm pronouncing those first and last name right. She's the goalie that stepped in for Forest Lake and is 8-0. So you know, it's good that they had another goalie up.
That's great for her to have somebody that can step in. It's an opportunity that opens up for another player, and I see that. That's a positive of this entire situation. But there is an awful lot of issues, awful lot of opinions, and awful lot of angles in which you need to assess mm-hmm. when those choices are made.
The single-A girls, top five, War Road, Breck, Proctor, Hermantown, Mount Wisconsin, South St. Paul, that brings the hockey discussion to a close, unless you wanted to go on and on about your favorite sport and your favorite tournament.
I enjoy hockey. Don't look otherwise. I'm just somebody that kind of likes to, you know, shoot holes when things get a little too bloated and inflated and full of themselves. And no sports, no state tournament has become a little more full of itself than the state high school hockey tournament. I'll say that unequivocally. I think we've had a lot of broken arms by patting themselves on the back for about the wonderfulness of the hockey tournament over the few years.
You have we may have some more state tournaments to cover. I had the Minnesota State High School League meeting last week, and we touched on it. There's a few things touched on in that board of directors meeting. One is they are taking steps to, I would say, make it easier or setting up a signal that they're more welcome to the notion of multiple classes in sports such as soccer in particular, possibly track and field. There's a question of what volleyball might do. And there seems to be more, there's language approved that allows for, that opens the door to at least discuss these things a little bit more nuanced than maybe previous discussion was able to arrive. And I know soccer in particular was pretty interested because, as you may or may not know, there is a matrix in place where you have to have X amount of teams to qualify to be a two-class tournament, which is why lacrosse isn't there. You have to have X amount of teams to qualify for being a three-class tournament. Now, soccer is currently two-class. They are very interested in moving to three classes.
What are those amount of teams, do you know?
Well, the number dropped, I believe it dropped to 198.
That's the cumulative number of teams.
Right.
Okay.
And so they dropped the qualifying number to make sure that soccer now matched to met it and I think surpassed it even. So now they're excited that this opens the door for a really strong opportunity to expand their tournament. And I said, well, let's work backwards. I mean, you know, the U.S. Bank Stadium, you can only have that facility for a finite amount of time. Can you fit a third semifinals final combination in that window? And they said that they could. So that's the sport that's probably most likely headed for an expansion.
You know, and let's make this part clear. This is not about every kid getting a medal. I mean, there's a lot of people that will immediately go to that assumption that we're all looking for instant gratification. I don't think that these sports are trying to weaken the sport or water down the level of championships. I said this before. I've never seen a kid win a state championship in any sport that says, oh, it's only Class 1A or only Class 2A. It's a state championship. And there's a reason these kids play sports. And they have for participation, for teamwork, and to win a state championship, regardless of how many teams are involved in it, is still a state championship and still a very admirable and thing to do and a goal worth achieving. So I just want to get that out there before anybody starts thinking, oh, this is just another example of the watering down the nature of these sports and looking at taking care of these kids and worrying about their self-esteem. I think the coaches think there should be a third class of soccer, and then I think we need to listen to them very carefully and hear them out. That said, you and I both been to the soccer tournament, and as far as a spectator sport, it's it doesn't draw very well.
Yeah, it's I guess that's neither here nor there. It's about the things you mentioned, opportunity and everything else. I just thought, man, if they keep expanding these things, we're gonna have to hire more people to cover all of it. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, to be clear, that they didn't approve a third class for soccer. They changed language that makes those conversations easier to have and makes it more likely that sports can move in that direction. The other things that came out of the meeting that were interesting was the adding of volleyball, boys volleyball. This is where the high school league trips over itself, because you've got volleyball already, and it's girls volleyball. And now they're saying, well, we're going to add boys volleyball. Well, no, technically you're adding volleyball, because even though it's going to be a boys sport, girls can play on it. So it's all runs over itself here. But they're adding boys volleyball. Let's keep it simple, okay? Mm-hmm. There's an interest of adding boys volleyball, and there's also an interest of adding girls wrestling. Both of those proposals are going to be heard by the representative assembly, and that is a group that can make bylaw changes and approve bylaw changes.
Don't they go to the regional assemblies first? Or it goes to the representative assembly.
I didn't listen to that Saturday morning. They get moved forward to the regional assemblies.
And then once the regional assemblies decide, if there's a majority of regional assemblies decide to advance each sport or decide to promote the sport having a state tournament or becoming added as a high school league sanctioned sport, then they moved on to the representative assembly. At least that was my understanding.
And I got to read the following proposed amendments have been sent to the administrative regions across the state. If a majority of the regions approve the amendments, they will be presented to the representative assembly on or around May 13th of 2019. And boys volleyball and girls wrestling are the two that are going to get that hard look. I know we've had bass fishing and other things, but these are the two that are coming to the forefront.
You know, girls wrestling has been kind of bubbling under the surface for a long time, but I still have yet to see a very strong outpouring for it. There's a number of girls that do wrestle, and they're committed to it. But like any pursuit in which you have passion for, there's going to be some desire to make it more mainstream, to make it more accepted, but the numbers haven't seemed to be there quite yet for girls wrestling. Boys volleyball, on the other hand, got a tremendous response last spring. I think they had more than 400 kids the very first year of boys volleyball. And we all know the popularity of girls volleyball in this state. It's the most popular girls high school sport we have, outpacing track and basketball by significant portions. So I think the boys volleyball has definitely got a lot of momentum going forward at this point. I wouldn't be surprised to see boys volleyball as a high school league sanctioned sport within a few years. I'm going to take a wait and see on girls wrestling.
Volleyball would actually be, I don't know if this was in your story, I imagine it might have been, I apologize, but they're looking at adding it as a spring sport.
Yeah, that's when they played it last year, was in the spring, mm-hmm. because the gyms are available. You know, there's the only thing that's going on in a lot of gymnasiums at that point is some play badminton, and that's about it. Then there's some training that goes on, and other things. You know, baseball teams and softball teams will train in their gyms if they get bad weather. But
snowy April panic practices.
Yeah, but for the most part, the gyms are wide open in the spring, and that's where boys volleyball is targeted. And like I said, last year, the league that was run out of largely a couple of Shakopee parents who were involved in the sport. Rachel Kilkelly, the Shakopee volleyball player's mother, was one of the persons that was leading the charge. Walt Weaver, the longtime volleyball coach, has been very vocal and has been at the forefront of that boys volleyball charge.
I found this fascinating because I was wondering who the heck are they attracting to even play? Not because there's something wrong with volleyball, but I figured everyone was kind of lined up, and if you were in a sport, then your off season would be refining your sport. They said that, you know, the proposal they ask, you know, how does your proposal impact other sports in the same season? And when you talk about numbers, I'll read this from the information handed out at the high school league meeting. Coaches of other spring sports are concerned they will lose participants, but of the 400 boys that played volleyball in 2018, more than 300 of them were not out for another spring sport. So you are, there is a well, there's water in this well to tap into.
You know, that fear has been voiced a few times in the past, lacrosse in particular, when they sanctioned lacrosse a few years ago, I know that there were some coaches, some track coaches in particular, that were worried about losing numbers for their teams. But that says that hasn't panned out at this point. I do know there's a finite amount of athletes to go around, and the more we spread it out, you're going to see fewer and fewer on a lot of teams. I know that baseball has, for example, has had a slight drop in participation. But I looked at that a couple of years ago, and the conclusion I came to is that the kids that are committed to playing baseball are not leaving. just like the kids that are committed to playing lacrosse are not leaving. It's the kids that are kind of on the fence about what they're going to be doing. If it's just an activity to be involved in the spring, something they're going out for as a lark, something to have a good time, they're the ones that are kind of on the fence. But the kids that are real committed to it are going to be playing their sports. And I think that there's probably room for volleyball. I don't know that it will ever reach the level of girls volleyball in this state, you know, because we have such a strong club program here. And a lot of the boys teams have a club element as well. There's some boys that are playing in clubs that are coming over to high school. But you know, it's something that I see growing from a personal standpoint. If you've ever watched men's volleyball and women's volleyball, like at the Olympic level, I much prefer the women's game. There's a lot more defense, a lot more strategy, a lot more rallies back and forth. The men's game, and a lot of coaches I've talked to have agreed with me about this, it's a dig, pass, spike kind of game. It's mm-hmm. a serve, and then boom, it's over. So it's not nearly as compelling at the boys' level or men's level than it is at the women's level. But we'll see how that plays out. We're talking about high schools, not Olympic level.
Yeah, so we'll see how the momentum progresses with these sports. And like I said, you know, bass fishing's made their presentation. So
you know, the interesting thing about bass fishing that people don't realize is the reason that bass fishing hasn't been added, because I know there's an awful lot of interest in it, is that they're having trouble finding competent boat captains and people that can take kids out on a boat and, you know, fish with them, because there is an element of danger there. You have to have someone, a boat that passes a standard. You have to have a captain that you can count on. You have to have a lot of safety issues. I mean, fishing can be a very dangerous sport. It's one of the most dangerous pursuits that we have in this country, oftentimes because of people falling overboard. And that is the one area that has kept bass fishing from becoming a high school league sanctioned sport, is that finding those boats and those captains to take kids out on the lake to fish is much more difficult than I think anyone anticipated.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear that as you're explaining it, but it makes sense. Well, I appreciate you gutting this out, Jim. It's always good to have you in the discussion.
always good.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. There's a little bit of disingenuousness to that.
Man, I'm just trying to get off the air here. Give me a break. Have a good holiday, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.